Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Connect podcast. I'm John Martin.
And I'm Dean Reverman.
Today on the show, we're going to be talking with Sandy Murkaji from Tagit, as well as Elton Saunders from Miles Data.
Mm-hmm.
Our discussion today is going to be about RFID.
We've been waiting so long.
We're always talking about the fact that it's this murky topic that people don't seem to know enough about.
Right.
And we've got two experts to tell us more. We're going to talk about the current state of RFID. We're going to talk about some typical applications and industries, as well as maybe some unique ones that you don't quite know about.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned. It's time for us to plug in and get connected.
Welcome to the Tech Connect Podcast. It's time to get connected.
All right. As I mentioned, we've got two fantastic guests on with us today that are experts in RFID. Sandy, I want to start with you. Tell us a little bit about your role. You are the president and CEO of Tagit. Explain to us briefly like what Tagit does, your how you fit into the RFID picture.
Hey, thank you, guys. And I really appreciate this opportunity to be here. My name is Sandy Murkaji. I'm the CEO of Tagit Solutions. We started Tagit in 2008 to fill in a white space, white gap. When we came to this industry, we looked at what the industry was doing. And at that point, basically, the industry was in the phase of connecting the unconnected things, basically in capturing their identity. And Rajiv and I, who started the company, we came from the enterprise software side of the company. I've been in the enterprise software business for about 25 years, have done very large-scale SAP, Oracle deployments, have been on Oracle's customer advisory group for shopfloor manufacturing system. And what we realized when we started looking at this industry initially is that we get a lot of raw data coming out of the hardware platform, and that raw data has to be fine-grained, coarse-grained, and then refined before it can be consumed by the business systems like SAP, Oracle. And that is a very labor-intensive, engineering resource-intensive, heavily customized, long-term project. So our vision was basically to take that gap of converting the raw data into business data through smart algorithms, smart programming logic, so that it can be a configurable, rapidly deployable, easily manageable infrastructure. So we are basically a software company, which makes it really easy to adopt all kinds of location technologies and scale them out, scale them up with lowering the cost of ownership while lowering the risks associated with adopting a new technology in your stack.
So he was drawn into the RFID world, right, through the data that is there and providing the analytics, does a great job in connecting some of those really knowledgeable.
I always find that fascinating when you come in with a company that maybe you didn't expect to get into a particular realm,
right,
but you find yourself there because what you do just makes sense. And I think that's very much the
case. Look at this opportunity that's in front of us,
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Elton, I'll shift over to you. Elton Saunders is the manager of professional services at Miles Data. Elton, tell us a little bit about your role there and kind of maybe what Miles Data does on their piece of the RFID puzzle.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks again for having me, John and Dean. Really an honor to be on here. Miles Data is in a lot of ways your traditional value-added reseller for, you know, Zebra, Honeywell. I've been with Miles Data 17 years, and I oversee our professional services group. And so that's the people that really go out there and make things work, you know, whether that's site surveys, mobility implementation, enterprise labeling projects, and then, of course, RFID. That's where, there's always that RFID, is this the year of RFID? It's happening now, right? And, it's really been steady growth, though. I mean, it took a while. I think we all got excited about when, you know, Walmart, the top 100, and we didn't really see that, you know, maybe pan out to the lower tier, you know, customers that, you know, didn't have that volume. But right now you've got excellent hardware, and just the tag costs are, you know, getting much more tolerable. So, you know, our team will help customers look for unique tags for an application. help them design a portal or, you know, some type of read zone. A lot of times it's just educating people and, you know, understanding what are some of the limitations. You know, a lot of customers come to you with that idea of that they're, you know, just going to light up their warehouse and they're going to see everything. And it's, and right. then you can't. I feel like, unfortunately, sometimes my job is like throwing a wet blanket on people's great ideas. You know, it's
like, oh, but we'll get there. We'll get there, my friend. Right?
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, eventually. We love Miles Data. I mean, this is the first time we've had a reseller on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So, Elton, thank you very much. Your perspective.
Oh,
I mean,
pleasure.
If I could say, I mean, you're in the trenches. You're in the mud every day, hearing what's going on in the world and how people are utilizing this. So, we're excited to have both of you on.
Right? Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, again, thank you so much for being here. Elton, I will kind of let you kick this off because you mentioned a little bit about, you know, Walmart and maybe some mm-hmm. other applications and industries that are already kind of on board. As we mentioned, this is one of those topics that, again, feels like it's always on the cusp of every industry getting on board, but yet nobody seems to want to really get on board, but a few have. So, Elton, I want you to start and tell us a little bit about some industries that are definitely on board, are already using RFID on a regular basis, and how are they using it?
Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, Miles Data is really focused on, you know, primary areas, manufacturing, warehousing. We do a little bit in, you know, a little bit in healthcare, a little bit in education, but really, you know, the manufacturing and warehousing are core markets, right? And one thing that I've been noticing, and this might be one of those things maybe that other resellers maybe, you know, find advantageous is, You might look for applications where they're already using RFID, say, but for example, like HF, you know, and, you know, maybe you move them from HF to UHF because of the, you know, maybe lower tag costs, more tag options. You know, we've got some customers right now that they've got an HF application and they're, because of some of the advances in the ICs in the UHF world, they're dying to get over there, but they've got all this infrastructure, you know, around HF and it's going to take them a while, you know? So that's kind of one area I look for. Also, if maybe some low hanging fruit, you know, like, is there a company that's doing some type of asset tracking now with barcodes? It would be maybe some, you know, advantages of RFID. Maybe they, you know, they could get away with, you know, out the line of sight and some of those, you know, benefits. And can we maybe do something where we give them a tag encoding process and give them a you know, a tool like a TSL sled and then really just transform that into RFID without a lot of work, you know, just to really kind of get them to see some of those initial benefits, you know. So in our world, again, it's, you know, it's a lot of asset tracking. I would say there's a few kind of maybe outlier interesting things, like we see some companies using RFID to track down some of their gray market. So if, like, say you've got a premium brand and you're all of a sudden you're seeing your product end up in areas, you know, on Amazon or places where it shouldn't be distributed. Customers are using RFID to hide a tag in a product and then understand, how did that get out? You know, what channel did that get out with? So,
where did that come from? Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. When you've got, you know, you're supposed to have that real tight control over that supply chain and suddenly it's showing up in other areas. And on, you know, again, on those premium brands where that brand is everything, that name that's on that bottle, you know, is really important. You know, that can be an area to focus on. So, I don't know, you know, we kind of see things all over the place. And then there's, of course, just traditional, you know, putting RFID tags on, you know, cartons and running through a portal. I mean, it's, you know, kind of all over the place, really.
Yeah. I like where you were going there, Elton, on the initial benefits, because, you know, one of the things that we, as John has already said, you know, we talk about it and we've talked about it on this podcast before about how, you know, how do resellers get into the opportunity or try to, you know, have that RFID conversation, if you will, you know, and what to look for. And I love the idea of painting the picture on some of those initial benefits. It doesn't have to be a big home run coming out of the gate, you know, of use of RFID. Maybe it just replaces asset management in a certain area type of a thing so that you can say, oh, yeah, here are some of the initial benefits of this technology. Start connecting the dots to the end or to the user there, who's the manufacturer or whatever, who's, okay, we're talking about RFID. No, now I can see how this is now benefiting me. I like that. So it's a really good tactic there.
Yeah. Sandy, I want to ask you a question from the software side of things. You know, Elton's talked a lot about, you know, where we're putting these tags, the, some of the use cases of them out there. But I want you to kind of maybe fill us in a little bit on what happens on the back end. You know, what kind of insights are customers getting from having these tags? Elton briefly mentioned the one of, you know, product floating in places it shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. And that gives you some valuable insight on like where it's at, where it shouldn't be, and maybe how it got there. What other kind of stuff are you seeing from the insight and analysis piece that maybe the Tagit does that kind of explains what, you know, what the industries that are currently using this, what are they actually getting out of it?
So there are two different things that we are encountering here. One is an automatic data capture process, basically what people used to do, a beep beep barcode, which needed a line of sight. So each of the tags had to be, you have to read it within like 6 inches or 1 foot of the tag. You have to basically be able to see that. And that used to be a labor intensive data collection process. So on one hand, we are seeing RFID basically, you're able to do a rapid data collection because you don't need a line of sight. You can read 60 tags per second, 60, 70 tags per second. So you can really improve your data capture side. But once you have done the data capture, you know, I mean, data can be noise and data can be information. And that's the part is where the software comes in, is to extract business relevant information from that data that you're capturing. Let me explain this through an example. So you have basically decided that you want to do an IT asset tracking project, and you have put RFID tags on all your laptops. And you have also put RFID readers on the doors. Now, at this point, what you are expecting is that every time a laptop is walking out of the door, the reader is going to capture the tag ID and it will record that we saw this tag at this door. But that is not relevant information, that that laptop actually belongs to Dean and Dean is walking out of that door. So nothing needs to happen there. So the RFID reader now has to have that intelligence that, okay, if Dean is actually walking out with that laptop, I don't have to do anything. But if Sandy, who's a visitor, and Blue Star comes in, picks up Dean's laptop and is walking out, and he does not have the authorization, then probably you need to trigger the security camera.
Right.
Or it could be basically John, who's from the IT department, who's coming in for taking the laptop for a repair or a maintenance operation. At that point, basically there is a transfer of custodian, which needs to happen on their ServiceNow system. So these are the actionable intelligence that you gather from the pattern in which these reads are happening, in which these data is being collected, so that you can basically automate some of the workflows. And that's the part where we see the software is evolving nowadays. We saw the initial stage of the, which I call it the RFID phase one, where the focus was all about the data capture, data capture, data capture. Now we are getting into data processing, understanding the logic, correlating the data, and extracting business relevant information.
Yeah, I like that a lot, yeah. Because that's, you know, that gets into the whole intelligence of a company and how they use the data. I mean, you know, at the end of the road, we're capturing data, we have data. That's kind of phase two in a lot of ways. Now, what is the meaning behind the data? How can we utilize this to make better business decisions, better business, you know, applications, if you will? And Sandy, I really like where you were on the beginning side there when you talked about rapid data collection as being a good use case for RFID. You know, I'm thinking to myself, and we've had several applications like a supply closet. You know, if I was a reseller that was in ADC and I came across a supply closet, whether it's in healthcare, whether it's a fire station, you know, and they have to document what's in the supply closet every single day. Well, there's a great way to do it is to get an RFID or sled on a mobile device with, you know, and you tag things in the supply room. You can literally get this done in seconds. Elton, maybe I'm preaching to the choir here. What may have taken that individual, you know, half an hour to count all the things in it, right? We're doing rapid deployment or rapid data collection. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that is one of the things that we have started educating the customers. And I think in the industry, there is a cognitive consciousness which has evolved that when you are comparing RFID with barcode, you cannot just say that, oh, barcode is just a penny and RFID 10 cents, because you have to start adding the cost of labor behind the scanning of barcode. And when you add that with the inaccuracies of, barcode can be scrubbed, barcodes can be scratched, and the read errors which are there associated. So when you take that whole thing into picture, now the customers are seeing that, oh my God, RFID is a bliss. Yeah. We have seen some very large telecom companies who have 10 million items in circulation, and it is impossible for them to do an item level inventory using barcode at all. It just is so expensive. But with RFID, it now becomes possible. They are able to do a daily inventory of 10 million items across 500 different warehouses and 7,000 different service vehicles in which all these equipments are there. So these are the things which would not have been possible without RFID.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of want to talk about maybe some specific applications where we should be seeing more usage, maybe we're not, and it's starting to happen, but people aren't quite sure how and where and why, and that's retail and healthcare. We've done a couple podcasts on both of those topics already, and I think at some point in each of them, we've touched on RFID and how it can apply, but I want to talk to the experts about this, obviously. Elton, I kind of want to start with you. You know, what kind of applications are you seeing in either retail or healthcare that is starting to make a difference and an impact, and maybe something that people aren't thinking about or should be thinking about, and where the growth is beginning to happen?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. So we don't do a lot in retail. We have some retail customers, but I mean, I think regardless, if you just think about that push towards omnichannel and the importance of having that inventory being accurate, you need just like Sandy just said, in order to do that, it's going to take a tool like RFID to do the inventories fast enough. You know, so that was again, Sandy just touched on that, but it's so true. It's just that it's that labor savings, and if you need that information, that's a way to do it and make it possible, you know, in a retail location. So, and we do have some customers that are, you know, looking to leverage that right now, you know, just because of the speed. But, you know, healthcare is interesting. We work with some healthcare manufacturers, and, you know, they've been putting tags in some of their products for a long time and are just now starting to actually see the benefits of putting them in there. You know, if you think about rolling out RFID tags to a bunch of fixed assets in an environment, that process in itself could take years, you know, to get that turnover to where everything in there has an RFID tag in it. Just kind of one of those things that maybe people don't always think about when they think about, I'm just going to throw RFID tags in all my stuff, right? So you got to get everything tagged, and it's got to be in the environment to be read. So that's one thing that's just I've noticed recently that there's that whole process of getting things born on into a system, you know. And man, Sandy just said so many good things there, so I just want to pick back up too, and just that amount of data that it's incredible that people just don't consider. You know, you scan a barcode and you get that number, that unique ID that you know you're reading. You might get the symbology. But when you read an RFID tag, again, you're reading it multiple times, different memory locations, the signal strength, there's all this massive amount of data set that you've got to process. And it takes software, you know, like Sandy and Tagit, you know, have to really make sense of all that, you know. Mm-hmm. So and if you're leveraging more of that data, that's where I think you're going to really see those benefits over just scanning a barcode. Right. You know, so.
Yeah. And as we move, you know, as the society moves towards a smarter supply chain, you know, I think that one of the things that this pandemic that we're currently living in is some of the fractures in the supply chain.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a need for information that RFID can give it to you in a lot of different ways that maybe people weren't thinking about. Or, and we've heard this a million times on this podcast too, well, it was on the board. You know, we were going to consider it in a couple of years, but now everything's, you know, technologies like that are getting crunched, meaning it's got to happen now. Because if we're going to have this supply chain that really needs to be operational within 3 days, you know, or we need to have that just-in-time inventory, well, you have to have very accurate reads on what is where, when. A type of a thing. And in RFID, I think Elton, to Elton's point, it can give you another more dimensions than just a barcode can. And that's a differentiator right there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I have to think that, you know, what occurred to me during the pandemic, you know, we've talked a lot about some of those supply chain failures, and it's one thing to, like, you know, not have enough toilet paper or green beans or something reaching people. But it's been something else when we started getting into the critical supplies, like for healthcare, the PPE, some of the critical equipment, those ventilators, all the problems that we had around making sure that various hospitals had what they needed. And that's the kind of thing where I immediately thought, like, man, with a really good tracking protocol, with a really good RFID setup, that shouldn't be as much of a problem. I mean, granted, you know, there's a lot of other issues that went into with the problems that we had there. But I have to think that, you know, there was a lot of that could have been solved with, you know, if you had a broad RFID adoption, you know, across the platform in a lot of those situations too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it.
So, you know, I kind of want to ask you guys maybe a little bit to dive into a little bit more about some unique uses, applications. You know, what's going on out there that you're just starting to hear about that maybe isn't widespread yet? Maybe an interesting use case that you've come across, or somebody's reached out to you and said, hey, can we do this with RFID, where you weren't really expecting, or were kind of surprised by it? Sandy, I'll let you start. Where have you heard about something unique and interesting lately?
So whenever I think of RFID, I kind of think of the invention of wheel. If we did not have the wheel, we would not have the ability to move, or the cars would not be there. We would not have flywheels, and we would not have clocks and watches. If we did not have wheels, we would not have generators, hydraulic generators, or the fans, and then we would not have electricity. So I believe that RFID is just piece. It's a technology which actually enables multiple things. The ability to capture the identity of a specific item wirelessly from a distance at a very fast speed, it basically promulgates a multitude of applications. Let's continue. You talked about retail and healthcare. From the retail side, we are looking at today, what is retail store? Retail store is a physical room in which you stock items, and then there are people who basically go and find out what item, how many do you have. In future, with RFID's capabilities, that room is not just a room. The room becomes a smart room, which basically tells you what needs to come in, what needs to go out, where are things, where should you point and guide your customers. The customers, the people who are coming in, the room knows that, okay, this is Dean just walked in and he's looking for size 38 pair of jeans. Whether this is Sandy who's coming in, he is looking for a laptop bag. And that intelligence now is transferred onto the room. And then we see suddenly, if we have smart warehouses, smart manufacturing, where the facilities actually have the ability to take the they have the intelligence to make the decisions. You are basically opening up a whole new generation of applications, and you are basically ushering in a new level of productivity, throughput, improvement into that. The use cases that we are seeing beyond retail are in the supply chain. Like today, we have a lot of customers who do warehouse inventory. There are a lot of customers who do shipment validation. Now, these are all small little pieces. When you tie them together, RFID has the capability of coming to the industry and saying that, hey, you know what? We will give you zero error shipment tracking. This is something that we have just launched with a semiconductor customer. And the problem statements are that today manufacturing and logistics is extremely complicated. There is not one single that is manufacturing everything. There's a product has multiple parts which are manufactured globally by various different companies, and that data is actually residing on their network. Basically making sure that all that data along with the material reach the right place at the right time in the right quantity, and the people are there to get that thing done effectively, it takes a lot of coordination. And all of that can be streamlined if every supplier can guarantee that they are not making a wrong shipment. If you take the entire logistics supply chain, the wrong shipment is one thing that has got several impacts in downstream as well as upstream processes. So RFID has the capability of guaranteeing that there'll be no wrong shipment. Today, if you look at logistics warehouses, you receive item and you will probably ship them out going through all the picking, packing, cross-docking, and before you can ship them out. The typical process is roughly about a week's time. We are living in an Amazon universe. Customers want it now. Mm-hmm. Customers want to know, when did Zebra ship you the hardware? When did it come to Blue Star? And if it reached Blue Star on Monday, why can't I get my hardware? Why can't Blue Star ship that on Monday afternoon? That's the level of expectations that the customers have. And for us to basically cater to that kind of customer need, we have to know exactly, we have to capture the identity at a very rapid scale, and with accuracy, we have to capture that, and then we should be able to immediately process that information. We cannot have human beings translating that information, processing that information. The warehouse itself, the dog doors themselves, the forklifts themselves will have to become smarter so that they can. So those are the applications which we are seeing. On the healthcare side, I think we will probably, because of the pandemic, we will see a rise in terms of equipment tracking, making sure that the equipment are being sterilized and calibrated and certified effectively. We will probably see a lot of improvement in specimen tracking. We will see a lot of specimen tracking applications being deployed, because I think what has happened is these facilities now have suddenly felt that there is a restriction to the number of people that we need to push into these facilities.
Yeah.
So there has to be some level of automation that has to be brought in. So we've seen a lot of these new sensitivity around protecting the intellectual property, making sure that, I think Elton mentioned earlier, that we are seeing a lot of asset tracking. Definitely asset tracking is going to be there. We will see a lot of inventory management, finished good tracking, returnable bin tracking. We're seeing all of these use cases which are actually dependent on somebody, a human being, to go and scan each of those to make sure that the right thing is at the right place in the right quantity. We are seeing that automation is starting to happen.
Yeah. Elton, what about you? Any other interesting, unique cases or applications that you're coming across that you didn't expect?
Well, you know, I get really excited about like convergence of technologies. And so when I see something like, taking UHF RFID and maybe marrying that with like BLE and using BLE for locationing, I think that's really exciting. And I know, you know, there's people doing it. You could look at, Zebra's Savannah locationing engine, things like that. But to me, that's where things are just going to start and really, really create that smart warehouse, you know, that you've got your mobile device, you know, and it's got, you know, BLE capability. So if you've got a client on there that's monitoring, what's it close to, you know, and while you're scanning those RFID tags, that's to me, that stuff like that is just really exciting. And I think we're just kind of on the forefront of that right now. That's kind of what really gets me excited is just those, you know, that convergence.
Yeah. And I have to agree with you. I mean, when you think about it, and we've touched on a couple of the phrases here, an automated workflow, mm-hmm. I think the efficiencies of supply chain, if say what you want about supply chain, but ultimately it's a constant drive towards efficiencies. And I think that, you know, RFID is going to have a place. Blended technologies, I really like where you're going there, Elton. Yes, we can see how that's going to have an effect. And then at the end of the road, and not to over-preach what Sandy's talking about here, it's what do you do with that business data? What do you do with that data to now make it actionable intelligence that the business can benefit from, or the supply chain or whatever you're in can benefit from. And it's going to happen. It's going to just keep progressing, because that's going to make the whole world a little bit more efficient down the road. So if you're a reseller that's not really into it, it's okay to have those conversations and look for those initial uses, right? I'm sorry, Elton, I'm going to go back to it. Initial benefits, you know, it can be a small step in that direction that you're using RFID technology to tap it into. I can't believe we haven't thrown this acronym out there, IoT, you know, and so that it's you know, connected now, and, right. and we know where it is and when it is and all those kinds of things. But you can get some initial wins just by small steps.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, a couple of interesting little use cases I came across while researching for this episode.
Casinos?
Casinos.
Well, now, wait a minute. So what is that? What's going on
shipping,
there?
They're using chips like in poker chips.
Chips in the chips.
Yeah. So that way they know, to help out with employee fraud or theft potentially.
Yeah.
But also to identify like maybe patterns of what's going on with the patrons. Ah. So, you know, are they all flocking to one side of the floor for some reason? Are more people playing over here than over here? Do you have a lot of people hanging out on this side? Do we need to make sure someone's coming by there with some beverages, or maybe try setting up a game or something in that area?
Follow the money. Table?
Yeah, exactly. So it's in part, you know, to prevent any kind of fraud or theft, which is always an important aspect of casinos. But I feel like in general, they know how to make sure that doesn't happen.
Right.
But it's also more that insight and that analytics about understanding where your customers are, what they're doing,
the business intelligence,
where your business needs to be operating to meet them where they are at that point.
Gotcha.
Food production, that's a fairly simple one. That one's mostly about just, you know, like the whole like first in, first out idea of food production. You know, if you're making something and it's got an expiration date, a spoilage date, needs to get out sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
Great way to help you keep track of that and identify, you know, when was this produced? When was this, you know, packaged? When was this put where it needed to be put, and what needs to get out of the door faster than something else?
Mm-hmm.
And then the cannabis industry. We had a podcast all about cannabis a little while back. And, you know, that tagging aspect of
really
it,
fascinating.
The tracking, that seed to sale, making sure that you like there's a lot of strict guidance and rules around making sure that every little aspect of the cannabis story, from when it's being grown to a plant to when you're taking leaves off the plant.
Oh, and when it goes from the flowering room to the other room. I mean, talk about a world that's perfectly made for RFID.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got to track this thing from the seed, and as it moves through the facility, I got to know where it is, when it is.
By barcoding, and granted, it can be done.
Yeah.
Man, that's just an extra lift that I think that RFID could just, you know, make so much easier for you know, that industry. Well, hey, this has been a fantastic conversation. I really have appreciated you guys talking a little bit about use cases and applications. We're going to shift over to our recurring segments, Value of the VAR and Tech Connected with Us. Before we do that, I do want to thank our founding members. That is Epson, Elo, Star, Zebra, and Honeywell. As always, thank you for your sponsorship. We couldn't have this podcast without you. If you do want to connect with us and you have a little bit of insight or questions maybe about RFID and want us to put you in touch with Sandy or Elton, we're happy to do that. You can find us on Twitter at TechConnectPod. You can email us, TechConnect@BlueStarInc.com. And hey, of course, if you like the show, please go on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star review. Feel free to leave a review with a question there. We'll be happy maybe to read some of those on air
and
talk about your questions. All right, as I said, we're going to conclude with the value to the VAR. This is our segment where we kind of take wrap up the conversation we've had and talk about how it applies to VARs in particular. Well, today we have someone, a VAR, on with us. Exactly. Right. So Elton, I kind of want you to kick this off. You know, my question was, you know, what would you say to VARs that are hesitant about messing with RFID? So I kind of want you to talk first from your perspective of why you got into RFID, why you think it's a useful and applicable business, and, you know, not to necessarily inform your competitors, but, you know, why should other VARs be considering this? Why should they be messing with this particular industry and route, you know, that maybe they're a little bit terrified of or still don't see a lot of viability in for some reason?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. You know, one thing that I maybe is common sense, but I think, you know, build your RFID strategy sort of in relation to what your customers are asking for. I think it could be really easy for somebody to, you know, invest a lot of money in hardware and training. And if their customer base isn't really ready for it, you know, it's going to be some time that's not well spent, right? So at the same time, kind of on the flip side of that, you know, that's maybe the cautious side. You know, the other side is you're going to have to invest in hardware and training and technology for your people so that your system engineers and your sales reps understand the technology, because there is a lot of nuance. It's just not as simple as scanning the barcode. With all the different tag types and different antenna types, and you know, how those, you know, are affected by environmental concerns, it really is an investment. And, you're going to learn some of that by trial. And that's one of the things that sometimes a little bit hard for the customers to understand that, hey, we've never been inside your environment. If it's a new customer, you know, we need to do some testing to really see if this is going to work the way, you know, you want it to work and get the read rates that you think, you know, you need to make this successful. So again, just to kind of maybe summarize, you know, a little bit of caution in how you develop your strategy, but then realize that there's going to be an investment to get over that hump. And then also, you need to have those relationships, with a company like Tagit. You're going to need, for certain projects, you're going to need that software to really make sense of everything. There's a lot of really neat, you know, I'll say new tools. If you look at, like Zebra's FX Connect, that's a neat way to get started, you know, and if you've got some programming talent and you can feed a web service with RFID data, that's great. That's maybe a low cost way for some people to get involved, but that's not going to be for everybody. They're going to need something that's like an off the shelf product that can be, you know, customized for their environment, again, you know, like Tagit would offer. So, some caution, but make the investment and see where it goes.
Yeah. Well, that's a perfect segue then for Sandy to kind of talk a little bit more about this too, which is, you know, from your point of view, and so, you know, maybe you're working with a VAR who is kind of interested, but not really sure. And as Elton mentioned, you got to have that software aspect of it. Mm-hmm. You need to have a good, solid partner there. And obviously Tagit's very well known in the industry. So, you know, talk from your perspective a little bit about, you know, if you've got a VAR who's kind of interested, but really not sure, they don't know why they should get involved and they're not sure why they should work with you. What kind of conversation do you have with them?
So two things. I think the industry, there is a groundswell of improving the productivity, having a better oversight, and reducing cost. And these are conflicting concepts. I mean, improving productivity, having better oversight, and reduce cost, if you have to do all of them together, you have to bring in a new set of technology, tools, systems, processes. They have to build in. So if the reseller partners do not want to be left out of the game, they better join in now. I'll give you an example for the IT industry. When virtualization came as a concept through VMware, there were a lot of resellers who said that, I'm happy selling my IBM PCs, Dell PCs, and HP PCs, compact PCs. I don't care about virtualization. It is going to reduce my number of server sales. Today, and we are in a cloud environment, everything is all virtualized. So mm-hmm. the early adopters, the resellers who had that intelligence and the foresight and the vision, and also the commitment. It's not just enough to have a vision, but you have to make commitments. Like Elton said, you have to train your sales engineers. You have to train your field engineers. You have to understand the concept. You have to invest in a proof of concept center or a center of excellence. However, I think the RFID industry is actually matured enough to go and, at least at this point, I can tell that out of all the RFID applications that we are seeing out there in the market, the channel customers, the channel partners are most interested in solutions which can be replicated across all their customers, right? It's not about, I don't think channel partners are in a business of creating an innovative solution that they deploy just one time. They want to basically replicate some solution across all their customers. And if I look at all the RFID applications out there, I think the applications which are mushrooming are the ones which can be bucketized under the category of either safety or compliance or loss prevention or productivity. So these are the four buckets where the customers are trying to improve their safety, compliance, productivity, and loss prevention measures, which is where RFID helps them. So I think resellers should start, like I said, cognitively, they should start looking and hunting and searching for opportunities which are related to safety. For example, the customers who have chemicals, chemical tracking. There is a Department of Health and Human Services advisory of tracking. They call it COI, chemicals of interest. So you need to have that conversation with the customer that, hey, there are the COIs that you need to track. How can we make it better, more efficient, and error-proof so that you are able to send these reports to the auditors, the inspectors, on a timely manner? In the safety, we have, like for the aviation industry, we've seen as well in the maintenance repair operation tool tracking. Whether it is having a smart crib, whether it is having the check-in, check-out station, one of the things that the aviation industry, or I would say actually it's not just the aviation industry, it's all the transportation industry that they would need a better management of their repair maintenance tools, because if the tools are not calibrated with which they are doing the repair, there could be problems with that. Secondly, the technicians are carrying the tools into repairing a jet engine. If they forget their screwdriver or a spanner in the jet engine, that could be devastating. So making sure that all the tools that they are taking into the field are the tools that they are bringing it back, they are not leaving behind anything, those are safety measures. We basically have started seeing occupancy measure by putting RFID readers at the dock door, making sure that, okay, there are 25 people in the retail store, we will stop others from going into this. This is a post-pandemic use case that we would see, that people would start monitoring the occupancy of their conference room, of their office spaces, of their clean rooms, of their manufacturing facilities, of their logistics facilities, because there are guidelines about how many people should be there. Similarly, on the compliance side, there could be financial controls, there could be ISO audit controls, because of which people would have to make sure that they are able to find their assets quickly. There could be different mandates. There could be government mandates. For example, like in California, we have a mandate called Williams Law, which basically makes mandates that every student in every school should get a textbook. I know we talk about ebooks, but there are a lot of schools where we still use textbooks. And how do you do that? So these are the use cases I think that the researchers would have to start hunting for. They would have to keep their eyes and ears open. When they go into and have that conversation with the customers, they would have to start asking this question, hey, what are your safety improvement projects? What are the projects that you are undertaking that could reduce your cost of complying with mandates? How are you complying with mandate? How can you improve your compliance measure? What are your productivity improvement? How are you preventing loss? How are you improving your loss prevention? So these are the discussions. Once the resellers start having, there's a whole lot of opportunities that would start rising up.
That nailed it on the head, if you ask me. if you're a reseller looking for it, thanks for the four buckets, Sandy. I'm gonna borrow that if you don't mind in my conversations. But in all seriousness, I mean, who of us thinks that connected items are going away? No. It's only going to continue on, right? And look at all these use cases that Sandy and Elton have generated here. Just the tip of the iceberg when you think about where we're going to be in 2, 3, 5, 10, 15 years. Connected devices aren't going away. The need for that is going to be – RFID fits a need there, I think. And I love Elton's advice. Be cautious. You know, dip your toe, but at the end of the road, dip your toe. It's okay to get in. Find the right opportunity. You're right, Sandy. Most of ours are looking for something they can replicate, and that's cool. It's cool to do that. I totally get it. When I was a reseller, that's what I was looking for, you know, build it once, sell it 10 times kind of a thing. But those opportunities are there. Just have some caution, but dip your toe in, because the connected world's not going away.
Yeah. You know, Sandy did hit the nail on the head with what I was going to suggest here too, is that, you know, when you mentioned the whole idea of, desktop computers, that, you know, maybe that was your whole gig and you just thought, I don't need to worry about anything. anything else. This is going to last forever. And then you're on the outside looking in eventually. Mm-hmm. I can understand the hesitance to be the first one in on RFID.
Sure.
But you sure as hell don't want to be the last one in.
Right.
Because if you are, you're probably way behind everyone else. Yep. And you're probably, your company's heading towards obsolescence.
Absolutely.
Or you're just never going to have any part whatsoever in that particular piece of the puzzle. So get in.
Stay
get
connected.
In now while it's growing and while you've got fantastic partners that you can work with and people that you can rely on and resources that are out there.
100%. Yep. So,
all right. Well, we want to shift to our final recurring segment. This is the fun part of the show. What's Tech Connecting with You?
Right.
This is where we get to talk a little bit about maybe some cool piece of technology.
Well, we've talked about everything.
We have.
We've talked about quantum computing.
Yeah. So this can be whatever, you know, doesn't have to have anything to do with RFID. It could be just something cool that you are reading about, that you're playing with, a gadget, an app, you know, whatever it is that's interesting or exciting you. Sandy, I'll let you start this one. What's Tech Connecting with you right now?
So I've actually been watching about the convergence of different technologies that is coming together, which is basically RFID, which gives the identity with blockchain, which secures the entire connectivity and the data across cloud computing, which has become very pervasive. We still have a lot of manufacturers who do not have any connectivity from their manufacturing floor, but I think they are slowly opening up. So cloud, blockchain, RFID, all location technologies, along with, I think, once we start enough, we have enough data, we would start seeing some AI and ML models, which will start getting into the cool things that we are looking at are automated guided vehicles and drones. For warehouse inventory, we are looking at robots for data center inventory, for cleaning. So these are some of the applications that we are exploring, but we are also exploring how can we make the visualization of the physical world much better using some kind of gaming engine. So those are the things that we are and our engineers are working on, that we are focusing on. But I think, you know, it's like making that commitment. We need to see some of the customers actually asking and the industry basically asking. We are looking for those indications, if you will. But I think there's a whole lot of exciting opportunities that are knocking on our door at this time. And I think it's unfortunate, it's unprecedented that we are in this pandemic season, the era. But I believe that, I very strongly believe that the post-pandemic era is going to be a better world for all of us. Mm-hmm. A lot more automation, a lot more, we will all be healthier. We will basically be more conscious about the nature. So it probably is a reset button that we all required, and we will have a better world tomorrow.
Could be. I mean, and you hit on a lot of things that we get geeky around here. I mean, we talk drones and robotics, and we like that, and the blending of technologies. Really insightful there, Sandy. Yeah.
That's awesome. Eldon, what about you? What's Tech Connecting with you right now?
Yeah, well, I think it's really interesting that we're all talking about convergence, right? I mean, that is where it's at. And as Sandy just mentioned, it's really neat to see, you know, like Zebra investing in robotics and things like that, you know, because again, I kind of mentioned BLE and UHF RFID kind of bringing those together, but it can be so much more than that when you start looking at some of the automation, say through robotics, right? So, that's to me when you start just mixing and matching, and then, you know, one of the big pushes here at Miles Data recently has kind of been, you know, let's start getting, RFID data up in the cloud let's start collecting a lot of data and, you know, starting to try to make sense of that for our customers and helping them through that process. So I just really like how everything's talking together. You know, that I think that's really what IoT is supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be interdependence. But, I think it's interesting, this is maybe kind of going back a little bit as far as like the news cycle goes, but, were any of you guys watching Amazon Go when it came out and kind of interested to see what technology ended up driving that store?
Yeah. Right.
And then I don't know about you, but I was so surprised when it wasn't RFID. You know, I was watching. I was kind of, you know, just I guess it's just because we're, you know, geeks in this industry. But I was so excited to see how when they unveiled that, you know, that story. This is probably two years ago now. And then it ended up being a lot of like, camera, you know, based image based, you know, data collection with, you know, AI and machine learning on the back end that was driving it. So it's fun to be surprised at times. Like, you know, you think you've got that, you've got that, you know, I don't want to say magic bullet, but you've got this technology, and then just to be completely blindsided by something out of left field, you know? So I think that happens all the time to all of us, but
it feels like they built this over-engineered thing, the Ghost store, to when it could have, very simple technology could have helped out along the way. I mean, I don't know, but that's Amazon, I guess, right? You know.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll throw this out there for, you know, those types of retail situations. You know, maybe it for, you know, say it wasn't a fit, right? If you can, you know, easily, again, some of the, you know, maybe the downsides of RFID that you got to be aware of, you know, if you have that tag between your hands, you know, it may not get read, you know? And so anyway, I love sort of some of those intricacies and, you know, just to see how technology ends up getting rolled out. It's really a neat thing.
Well, my Tech Connect, what's Tech Connecting for me is maybe the ultimate convergence of technology. So, you know who Elon Musk is, right? That guy has got, you know. So
for better and for worse, we know who he is. Yeah.
Right. Have you heard of Neuralink?
What? No.
Okay. So Neuralink is a mysterious startup that Elon Musk has out there. And it's basically, obviously, something that would be connected to your brain. And they've got three stated goals: fix brain injuries and complex neurological disorders, number one, creating a brain-machine interface, number two, merging humans with artificial intelligence. So,
oh, man.
This is Elon Musk. So we got to get, you know, whatever. He can go there pretty quickly. But it's really fascinating that, you know, obviously they're creating their own terms. The Neuralink Brain-Machine Interface, or the BMI, not Body Mass Index. Now you're talking about brain-machine interface, will involve moving parts of the skull to fit in the neural lace, a digital layer above the cortex. So he's actually thinking about embedding something, but it goes on, and where he sees this happening, and this is one of those moments like, oh, maybe he is onto something here. Human AI symbiosis. So, right, so you have the human and then who is augmented by computer and AI. And basically his point is this.
Cyborgs.
Yes. Yeah. Bingo. That's the exact word. His opinion, I guess, would be this. AI is going to get to a point where it can outthink a human. And if that's the case, if you believe that to be a truism, then you better start attaching some AI on a human so that the cyborg human can keep up with the AI.
Right.
And I'm sitting there, okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. I don't know that I like where that's heading, but I get where he's going.
How much
that.
You want to bet that the military is the first one to roll that out?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess, like, that's one thing I will give credit to Elon Musk for. Like, you know, he typically tries to, like, aim for how can I make this viable for the consumer and the average person.
He does.
Whenever possible. Yeah. But man, yeah, there's some applications for that could get scary in a hurry. But
well,
okay, but isn't that? So, but you can say the same thing about any kind of new technology, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about man versus machine comparison. I think you're talking about AI. That's great. I don't know if you guys have caught up with this new CRISPR tool, which is a genetic modification, the CRISPR tool.
Yeah,
there's a huge debate going out from the. It would be very interesting to see which one actually man with the CRISPR tool.
Oh my lord, Sandy! Thank. Oh my gosh! Now you're scaring me even more.
Super soldiers,
genetically engineered super cyborg soldiers. Oh my gosh!
We're literally just gonna invent a cyborg Captain America. That's what's gonna happen.
Well, that means I'm like an ant right now. I mean, right.
Yeah. Our cyborg overlords will be laughing at this podcast someday,
right.
You know.
And unfortunately, that Sunday could be like 100 years from now. Not like, you know, way off in the future. Oh, my gosh. So that's what's Tech Connecting with me. You got anything, man. John, or have we just blown this wide open?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into anything quite so heady or, you know, world-ending potentially, but which we go down those roads sometimes.
Yeah.
I was racking my brain, and for some reason what occurred to me is my son lately has been getting into superheroes.
Okay.
He's almost three. So, you know, we have Disney Plus, of course, we've talked about that before. And there's all kinds of the old classic superhero cartoons. Mm-hmm. There's Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends, the old X-Men cartoon, you know, just
the good stuff.
Yeah. Yes and no.
Oh, okay. Because that's where you're going.
It's one of those things where you watch them now and I'm just like, man, like I loved this stuff when I was a kid, but it's so cringy now. It's so badly drawn. And just, you know, the animation's awful. The music cues are so redundant.
The plots were
terrible.
So deep, though. The plot.
Man, it's just such bad stuff. So it inspired me to say, you know what? I want him to watch something that's higher quality. And it's one of those ones where I thought, like, maybe he's not old enough for this. But at the same time, like, no, because those are just awful in their own way and, like, and weird and bad. I want him to watch something more fun. So I showed him Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse because Spider-Man's one of the characters he's really getting into.
Yep.
This is a movie that came out, I think, about 2 years or so ago now. And it is one of the most amazing and complex and well-constructed animated films I have ever seen. And kind of the point I wanted to make is the technology that's changed in animation over the years. I'm always fascinated by that because, you know, you talked about a movie making in one of our previous episodes about the change from practical to special effects and the over-reliance on special effects when practical can still feel and look real and and be much better. In animation, like, it's one of those things where, you know, you see so many efforts to try new stuff and to move in new directions. And Pixar, obviously, has changed the world there. Mm-hmm. Well, this is Sony Animation. And working with some of the guys who did, like, the Lego movie and, you know, have put their effort into a lot of interesting animated stuff over time. So they build a Spider-Man movie that's all around a different universe where the Spider-Man we know and love is not quite the Spider-Man that we know there. Mm-hmm. A young biracial Spider-Man named Miles Morales takes over the mantle and becomes Spider-Man, has to learn the ropes and meets a bunch of other spider people from other dimensions. But the animation is so amazing. They use a combination of CGI and your standard special effects type stuff. Mm-hmm. They use a lot of old school cel shading. There's a lot of, like, the backgrounds and the animation style is designed to look a lot like comic books. They clearly love comic books and what that meant to people that are into this stuff now. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can see, like, still the little dots, you know, like you would have the old four-color dot profiles in the old school comic books. Huh. You know, word bubbles, text bubbles, kind of stuff pop up. It's one of those movies that he's watched now probably 7-8 times, if not more.
I'll be darned.
And I have no problem watching it with him every time, and I always find cool new stuff in it.
That's cool.
That I didn't notice before. So if you haven't watched it, if
and
you've
this
got
is on
kids,
Netflix?
It's on
no,
Netflix
Disney.
Right now.
Netflix,
actually,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's some weird thing with Marvel ownership and Spider-Man.
Right.
It's not on Disney at this point. Yeah. But I highly recommend Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Yeah. Got it.
So that does it for us. I want to thank our guests today, Sandy Mukherjee and Elton Saunders. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate all your
insight.
Thank
you both, gentlemen.
You definitely made this easier for us, not being experts to talk about this topic. But it is time for us to unplug. So until next time, for Dean, I'm John. Stay connected. Interested in selling RFID solutions but aren't sure where to start? Zebra has you covered with a full portfolio of RFID hardware and support services. With growing applications in T&L, manufacturing, healthcare, retail, and more, RFID improves supply chains, streamlines inventory management, and improves online order fulfillment. To learn more about Zebra's line of RFID readers and printers, visit the link in the show notes or contact the Zebra team at Blue Star.
The Tech Connect podcast is brought to you by Elo. Built with versatility in mind, Elo Edge Connect offers a wide assortment of peripheral options for your digital display. Whether for endless aisle, self-order, or collaboration, you can seamlessly attach up to 4 peripherals to the touchscreen edge with flexibility to add, remove, or change later as needed. Options include barcode scanners, EMV cradle, customer-facing display, webcam, and more. To learn more, visit Elo's microsite on bluestarinc.com or contact your Blue Star account manager.